Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, the lovely Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello, Ben Ins. How you doing, buddy?
I am fabulous. We are approaching the weekend. We're talking about the Beverly Hills season finale today. On Monday, we got two things coming up. We've got Amazon Live at 1:30 on the West Coast, or 3:30. I'm sorry, 4:30 on the East Coast. And then also in the evening, we have Crappy Hour, which will be 5:30 on the West Coast and 8:30 on the East Coast. So join us for both of those things because we will have a lot of things to say about a lot of different things. And also join us on Patreon, free newsletter, ad-free listening, get video with Crappins on Demand. Get a bonus episode this week. We checked in with Top Chef. Next week, we are going to be recapping Survivor, the Survivor that just aired 2 days ago, which was really good. So that's all the fun stuff. By the way, shout out to our friend Hunter Harris, who landed a big mega cover story on Glamour magazine with none other than Sierra. The lady of the moment, Sierra, breaks her silence with Hunter Harris. So we love Hunter. Hunter filled in for you, Ronnie, actually, one of the days when you were out last summer. So congrats to Hunter. That's an amazing thing to have. I mean, I think Hunter probably has many cover articles, but it's cool.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. This is a big one. So
yeah,
so congrats, a big one. Hunter.
Yeah, yes. Good for her. Right on.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we...
This is where we're at.
Here we are with the ending of season 15 of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
This is season 15, episode 8, closing chapters. Oh, God. Let's hope they close some of these chapters. Some of these chapters need to be closed. Sutton, Kyle. I'm going to say Erica, but Erica still at least makes me laugh.
I think Erica.
And close these chapters. Really close them funny. All. Close the library, I say.
You know, they say bookstores are really suffering in 2026. And yeah, I can see why. We're going to close some of them.
Well, they're printing shit from Dorit. So, you know, Barnes & Noble, next time you're asking yourself what the problem is, look at your book covers, okay?
Yeah.
Look at all this nonsense you publish.
So that being said, I do think that this show has ended on a high note. I think the past several episodes have been really entertaining and fun. The slow burn has now, you know, reached a mid flame, which is pretty good for this show. And I definitely was like cracking up. Like I've been thoroughly enjoying the show the past few weeks.
I've been laughing. Yeah, it was very funny. Yeah, I was watching this with my friend last night, and I was like, this show is so boring, but we're laughing. I mean, we laughed the whole time, so I guess it's not boring. So there you go. It's been a boring, I mean, the fights that they keep having, it's like Kyle trying to start a fight. It's just like she does the same thing every time. But then watching Dorit tell everyone to fuck off with like 10-inch roots coming out of her head because she can't afford to get her hair done. I mean, it's like, it's art. You know what I mean?
I'm loving belligerent Dorit. But I'm also loving cold Erica. I'm like, I think it's hilarious. I think they're great. Kyle is just doing stupid Kyle things in the middle. But watching Dorit and Erica fight with each other is a real thrill because Dorit is fiery in a way that I really appreciate. And Erica is the exact opposite, like super cold in a way that I'm like, wow, she is really handling Dorit so hilariously right now. And we all win, I think. Doesn't matter whose side you're on.
We all win, everybody.
We're all winners.
So all winners here, except for Sutton. Who's just like trying so hard to get anybody to like her or have a fight with her. Nobody will like her or have a fight with her. I mean, it ends, spoiler alert, fast forward to the end. This episode ends with everybody basically walking away from the season finale and then Sutton trying to start a fight. It's like the restaurant's cleared. She's like, I want to speak to the manager. They're like, do you just wait a minute, ma'am? And then it takes like till the end of the night for the manager to come out and you're just stuck in an empty restaurant. And you're like, well, I have something to say. And they're like, we don't care. Could we just go home? The shift is over. And she's like, my man, so you got this Karen just standing there complaining to the manager and the manager does not care. And she's doing it to impress Kyle, but Kyle's not even watching. It's just all So sad. Yeah. And it's such a fun way to go out for Sutton because she's really pissed me off this year. So, you know, it was fun that that could be her last scene. Just her standing there alone trying to start a fight and nobody willing to fight with her. Bye.
Yeah. Well, that's
go back to your Rolly TV.
She, well, yeah. Yeah, seriously. She is the Rolly TV. I feel like we did not spend enough time really focusing on that all season long. I think it's funny because she has her grievances with Dorit, but she did not want to bring them up because she clearly did not want to interrupt Kyle and Erica because A, she was like, well, Kyle and Erica are really hammering Dorit, so this is really good. But also I think she knows if she tries to jump in with her own issue, then Kyle and Erica are going to get mad at her. And the problem with Sutton is that she really is just trying to be their best friend. She's trying to be in the in-group. She never will be part of it. And what she doesn't realize is that Sutton has been strongest when she didn't try to be part of them, when she just tried to be her own thing and tried to actually almost be an alternate. That's when the audience loved her the most. But her, like, sort of kissing their ass and just trying to crawl in and take over Dorit's spot, we don't like to see that. And it's not the best version of her. And it's, I think it is the thing that could get her off the show.
You are forgetting her magic ingredient, Garcelle, as well. She had Garcelle that she teamed up with. She had Avi that was there making her kind of humorous.
The Crystal.
And she had, you know, her best friend, Belvedere. You know, that was always helpful. And Jennifer, it's just, you can't give up all of your friends at one time. Okay.
I think that, like, yeah, Sutton is strongest when she's sort of on an island. Like, I am mega wealthy. I'm wealthy. I'm also from, like, arguably a higher class level. Like, she's on the board of ABT. She owns some sort of baseball team. She's from, like, Augusta. She has, like, WASP cred in a way that none of the rest of them have. And she comes in here and she should be like, I am the alpha. But she just doesn't have that inside her. And so she's just kissing Kyle's ass. And it's just so sad because if she just was like, what the fuck are these girls doing? Sort of like her mom, I think she'd be just the fan favorite and everyone would gravitate towards her. But she's just,
I was going to say, recast her with Reba. I mean, yeah. Why not? I know Reba's a little older than everybody else, but she can handle it. Reba. And Reba's also shown true housewives grit where she comes on, she makes everybody upset to the point where they're like, cancel Reba. We don't ever want to see Reba again. She must be racist. She must be this. We fucking hate Reba. Burn her alive. Burn her at the stake. Tar and feather Reba. And then a few episodes later, literally, people were like, oh, she's not so bad. And then this year, people are like, LOL, that therapy scene was great with Reba. So I don't know. Yeah. I think she's already shown a good trajectory of being able to get knocked down and get right back up again and still come back with piss and vinegar and new hair. New crazy she is, hair. And
she's Chumbawamba, you know, incarnate. Yes.
Cast Reba.
Yeah, I mean, I always think it's really funny in Real Housewives world. Maybe it's like a reality TV thing that sometimes you have to hate someone so hard in order to just like love them with all of your heart, right? Like, how much did we hate Camille Grammer first season of the show? Like, hated. She was on magazine covers as like the number one most hated housewife. Like, everyone detested her. And then her next season, we're like, we love Camille. Because sometimes we realize that, like, in the act of us hating this person, we have actually grown quite fond of them. Like, we're fond of the hate. We actually love how evil they are. We love the meanness sometimes. We love their sneaky ways. And we see the camp. And, like, we just sort of need a season or, like, a summer off, like an in-between session to be like, wait a second. Like, I actually love that. I mean, look at Leanne Locken. Leanne Locken, her first season of Dallas was just insufferable. But then when she came back her second season, we were all like, she's an icon. And she was like amazing. And she carried the show for several years until she spun out of control. But like, sometimes we just need that. And Reba is the latest beneficiary of our weird relationship with some of these vicious women.
Yeah, she'll be canceled tomorrow. So that's how it goes. That's how it goes with us. So Dorit's book cover reveal day. So the episode left off with horror music as we realized that Erica was not going to the cover party. She was going to Sutton's home instead. I mean, man, Erica really is pissed off if she's going to go hang out with Sutton. Erica hates Sutton. And I don't care what they're trying to tell me this season, that she no longer hates Sutton. Of course she still hates Sutton. She can't even hide it. Like, Sutton's making small talk with her and Erica's just showing her her teeth, trying to smile. She can't smile. She's just like, oh, yeah. She clearly still hates Sutton. And yeah, I love this for her because this looked really boring.
Yeah, Erica is going out of her way to show that she's not a minion for Kyle by not hanging out with Kyle. And she is hanging out with Sutton. And she's not happy about this. But, like, she has to hang out with someone. Otherwise, she'll get in trouble with production, probably.
So Sutton announces what she should have said in episode one. All right, I'm drinking. I mean, girl, it's episode 18. Too late. You're fired.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at Sutton Brown's house instead of Dorit's book party. I mean, yeah, are the aliens here? Like, I don't know. Did Christ come back? Like, this is some real epic shit.
And Sutton's like, Rachel's party was just, it was a lot. You know, the way that Dorit spoke to me and treated me, which was, she was largely kind and then turned her attention towards someone else. That was just the rudest thing I could ever even imagine. And she was telling me about, I don't know, it's just been like, it's been a hard week for her. And I'm like, I just got home 2 days ago because I took my son, whatever his name is, across the country to some place. I don't even know where it was, but it was a college, I suppose, and dropped him off. Do you know how hard that was for me?
I love, you know, Erica, Dorit was so mean to me when I came up to her to be mad at her about nothing, to try and get a last minute fight in, and she apologized to me. How dare she? And then she turned away to not have a fight with me. How could she? How could she? And then I had to take my son. And then Erica goes, and drop them off. The way that Erica's just so bored. She's like, and you dropped them off. We've heard the story. It still sucks. Okay. I can't believe she apologized to me that way. I can't believe it. If she ever apologizes to me again in that tone.
So she was talking with someone on the dance floor, and I said, please, excuse me. I hate to interrupt you. And she's fighting about it. I'm like, she was having a good conversation with someone that she was friends with, and you're not friends with her, Sutton.
And she wasn't even mad at you. She just said, I'll be furious with her forever for this as a joke, as she walked away to try and make it less rude that you just took her out of a conversation, Sutton. So, Erica's like, oh God, she's like, Dorit needs me. She treats me pretty poorly. Okay. Probably because she is pretty poorly. And it goes to show what she thinks about our relationship, which is nothing. You don't have a relationship with her. You tried to pretend to have a relationship with her. And then you tried to get Amanda to come after her and literally instructed her on how to do it to start a fight with Dorit. And then you tried to get the cast against Dorit by saying, well, I don't like Dorit Googling people. And put people in the chat GPT. I don't like it. Don't put people in the chat Gupta. It's disrespectful. It reminds me of my store.
Well, I FaceTimed with Kyle before I came over because she's not going.
And we see a flashback of Kyle saying, yeah, I don't like really feel like killing myself with exhaustion and being like overwhelmed to like not go over and like not feel good. It's just like a lot that's like going on with me.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Let me tell you something. If Kris Jenner had like, was like, hey, I need someone to take this garbage bag out to the back, Kyle would be there in 1 second. Like, hey, just hanging out. Just here. Do you need me to come over and move that trash bag for you? Maybe Kyle was exhausted from suing her sister to get out of her house.
Yikes.
Something we have not even addressed, but that's something that sort of
emerged
over
time.
The weekend.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Good to see that trio.
I won't come for Kyle for that one because, you know, yikes.
I'm just saying it's good to see that trio is backed up to its old ways. Like only two can be in good standing at any moment. Now, of course, there's bigger things going on, but I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's never peaceful.
So Erica's like, well, you know, there's no way you would go because you're not even speaking. Why the fuck would you go? And so back to present, Sutton's like, well, I wonder what we're missing. I'm just like dying. I want to be a fly on the wall to see. Well, then go. You fucking loser. You're such a weirdo. You're sitting at home drinking yourself silly because you're being too petty to go. And now you're curious what it is. Who wouldn't go? I would go. I mean, how could you not go see what Dorit's book cover is? That shit's hilarious.
No, she doesn't want to see. She doesn't want to see the book cover. She wants to see what people's reactions are to the fact that none of them are going to be there. So she's literally not going there purely to get a reaction out of them, not because she doesn't feel uncomfortable, or not because she feels uncomfortable. So then we go back to the party, and Bose is talking to Reach. He's like, well, you look fucking fantastic. And look at this outfit, girl. It's the power and the sex appeal for me. And then all of a sudden there's a crash, and Jennifer Tilly's $40,000 Gucci bear, which I guess is not, like, I guess it's sort of, it's a porcelain or something, whatever it is, it's broken on the floor.
That's a $40,000 bear. No, it hurts, mommy. It hurts. Oh. And
they just keep cutting to everybody being horrified. Dorit's like, oh, she's eating a nail. Everybody's dying that she just broke this purse. Nobody knows what to do. And then Jennifer just bends over and picks up a Tums off the floor. She's like, oh, it's my Tums. Like, you're eating that off the floor? And she's like, yeah, well, my restaurant, my friend owns this restaurant. I know it's clean, so. And then she just goes back to her life. God just bless this woman.
Just right back to it. Just right back. I guess it's not that it's porcelain. I'm looking it up, but it's just, it's some sort of firm material, and now it's broken. And I just love how she's completely unbothered. She's like, oh, well, things are broken. Okay. But when she said, mommy, it hurts. It hurts.
It hurts, mommy.
Well, you know what's not broken? Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson is still putting out material. She's fine. She makes $40,000 a second. She literally.
That's right.
Does not care. And that's what's so great about it. You know,
she's like, oh, no. It's a Tums. That's it.
It's like, that's it. I just earned another season. Thank you. So, Bose is talking about how people aren't coming. She's like, I can't believe people aren't coming. And Dorit's like, well, Coyle didn't come. Sutton didn't come. Coyle, because she's tired and overwhelmed. She's planning a tortoise wedding. Couldn't even come for 30 minutes. Come on. I mean, that's probably how long her daughter's going to be married. Jeez.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, going from Encino to Beverly Hills for 30 minutes, that's a big ask. That's a big ask. Although Kyle could probably build out a little dinner too, but either way. And Dorit goes, well, hello. And then Buzz is like, I mean, you can come and say hello and give me a hug and at least wait to see the cover for crying out loud. I mean, Kyle is making it really, really difficult to continue to defend that I believe that her intentions are good.
And let me just finish this by saying, maybe this time I'll be lucky. Maybe this time he'll stay. She looks like such a cabaret star in this outfit that she's wearing.
She does. I love it. So I love funny. Her little short hair. And
it's just color. Funny because it really does match her voice, that little outfit and her like little short haircut that she's got with it. And like a little, she's not wearing a bow tie, but she could be, you know, that little collar. She's like, hey, yeah. There's no business like show. You know what she could have done? She could have shut up for 30 minutes. Like, she's like a tough talking girl from the 20s.
She's the new Jennifer Aiden. What's going on, mister? Pizza bagel.
Her outfit totally fits the voice, and I love it. She's like, yeah, you can at least come over, say hello, give me a hug, wait to see the cover.
It just feels like you could have put in a little bit of effort. You know, if she's truly concerned about Dorit's financial situation, then she would be here tonight to celebrate Dorit's financial win. But she's not. Okay, yes, that's true. But let's also stop acting like this cover is like, you know, Dorit getting the keys to the city. You know, like she's not, like this is not the difference between her being, you know, Scrooge McDuck diving around and swimming in piles of gold. It is a good promotional moment, but it's being covered by the TV show. It's getting actually more attention than it would normally get.
Yeah, but it's like your friends, it's the representation of like me, I got a book, this is my thing, it's my storyline coming to an end, I'm divorcing this pig and writing a book and I'm going to support myself and I'm a woman, hear me roar. I mean, they should have been there to celebrate that. They celebrate Erica's bullshit shit paid for in gay bars with her writhing all over the floor, lip syncing to off key shit music, you know, they can show up for this. Or Kyle's,
no, I think they should show up
hands and shit that Kyle does, you know?
Yeah, I think they should show up just to be good people. But I'm like, when they're like, this is her, this cover, the launch of this cover, this is like, this is she's like opening up the stock exchange. You know, it's like they should just be there because Dorit, this is the first time Dorit has done anything without PK and it's of significance. And like you said, they showed up to watch Kyle's stupid loungewear and Kyle by Aileen too, and half a million different things for the agency.
And flew to New York to see Erica. I mean, Erica, they've really, especially Dorit has really, Dorit stood up for Erica against Kyle in Aspen. That's what set Kyle off in the first place against Dorit. And now Erica's like,
oh, fuck her. I don't know his shit. Because she was late.
Yeah. So Bose is like, well, we're not going to say it's a thing. We're going to wait because she might be here. You never know. Erica might show up. She's like, well, no, it's 7:30, honey. So we go back to Sutton's place and Erica's like,
I wish I felt like I should be there, but I don't.
It's like, well, I called her and she didn't pick up. So I texted her that I wasn't coming. Isn't that a riveting story?
Even that was returned.
How you communicate.
Even that was returned. I wrote her a text and I got something back that said, I'm sorry, I'm not accepting texts right now. Please leave me a message. Beep. Decline the text. Can you decline a text?
Erica's like, I haven't even called her. I haven't done any of that. I haven't sent her a text. I don't give a fuck.
She's like, you haven't?
No. I mean, I'm thinking about me. You know, I was thinking about the time she supported me on Broadway and then coming to my show in Vegas and all this shit. And then I said, Erica, you should be there. And then I said, wait a second. I'm not a good person. Since when do I give a fuck? I got a electric rod and I stabbed myself in the head with it, lobotomized myself again, and now I feel nothing.
Well, to be fair, you know, Erica did go to the Beverly Beach fashion show, so there is something there. I think I actually did, in a weird way, appreciate Erica verbalizing this, because like it's the thing that we would have said. It's like what you actually just said about 2 seconds ago. Like, she went and supported this and that and whatever, and so she's like, I know. She's like, I'm real. She's basically saying, I realize that by me doing this, this could end the friendship because I'm not being fair right now. But I also, like, she called me a cut fitness. Now, did I just brag about how I brought that word into the groove? Yes.
Exactly. That's what I said too. She's like,
and then she calls me a cut fitness.
Okay.
Is everything I'm mad at that she's called me things that I've said to other people and been like to other people?
Yes.
But
yeah. She's such a hypocrite. And, you know, I know that they've all been to each other's things. And that's like a weird thing to be like, well, she went to her thing because, you know, that's what they do on this show. They go to each other's things. But it's a bigger deal that people came to Erica's things, because Erica's things are hours long, making you sit there and listen to Erica try to sing. I mean, that is fucking painful. Sitting through Chicago starring Erica Jane. I mean, that's PTSD inducing. Sitting through Erica's Vegas show. We watched that show she did. We recapped that show she did about her Vegas show. It's shit. It was utter shit. So that somebody put their eardrums through that, that's a huge deal that you couldn't come to some little thing for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I do agree that this was a pretty low left thing to go from, to go to. But you know, honestly, I did think that, like, when Dorit said that, like, basically Erica and Kyle, but like Erica is mainly, because that's who we're talking about here, did not support her, has like not supported her at all, and that it's really just only Bose has been supporting her. That was like really insulting, I think. I think it was really, really insulting to say to like your best friend. And I actually really understand why Erica is like, fuck this girl. I've had to sit here and listen and nod along. And yes, she's had to listen to me singing for many hours, but I've had to listen to her monologuing for hours and hours and hours, way more hours. And I'm supportive and I listen and I listen and I listen and I listen and I listen. And then she's going to say I'm not supporting her. So like, I actually understand why Erica is really pissed. I do think
I have to disagree with you. I have to disagree. 100% disagree with you on this one, because Dorit said she's been more supportive of me this year. And that's true. Erica started off the season by everybody like, oh, we saw you're dating this guy. And Kyle's like, well, I knew about it. And Dorit's like, well, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, well, I only wanted some people to know about it. So Erica started the season being very clear that she's not telling Dorit shit. She's only being friends with Kyle. And so Dorit's like, well, you're not being supportive of me all year. And then you're acting like we're best friends and that you've been so supportive of me. You haven't called me about my divorce. You haven't given me, what are you talking about? Like, Bose is my only friend this whole year. You and Kyle have been shitheads to me. for this whole year. And then Erica comes at her with all of this shit from Kyle. I mean, Erica's thing about Dorit being late, yes, that is fucking rude. And that could have been a separate conversation that I would have been 100 on board with Erica. But the fact that she's just jumping up, Kyle's like, yell at her. So Erica's like, yeah, Dorit. And so she just goes for Dorit just because Kyle tells her to. That's just bullshit. It's not being a good friend at all. I think she's being a total asshole. And I think that Vos is her only friend this year. So Erica can suck it.
Yeah, I still think it was, I think that Bose, I actually do agree that Bose is probably a better friend to Dorit these days, but I still think that Erica probably has been really supportive of Dorit. And I've been in that position where someone is just taking and taking and taking. So you just don't even bother saying like, this is what's going on in my life, because it's like, you're not interested in what's going on in my life. You're just only talking about yourself. That's all you do. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to be supportive of you. But like, you're going through your thing. You don't want to hear about what like exciting thing is going on in my life. I'm just going to hold it back. So I'm giving Erica a bit of the benefit of the doubt because I don't know if that's the context. I don't know if
I was going to say did that happen. I don't think that Erica even accused her of that.
Well, but we all know, we've all had our friends who've gone through like the divorces and stuff. And like, you know, it's a one way street in that time in that moment. It is one way. We also know
that, but is like, there a bigger one way street in that vein than Erica going through everything she's been going through with Tom and the court cases and screaming cunt at everybody on the show, calling everybody names, screaming at everybody, irony. Crying, making everything about her and Tom for years and years and still bringing it up like, you don't know what I'm going through. I mean, Erica's been the worst. I don't think have we ever seen Erica I guess this season we've seen it a little with Kyle. But we don't see Erica calling people and being like, how are you? How are things with your divorce? Even Denise's abuse storyline, Erica turned around to make about herself. And I mean, I'm not taking away from Erica's abuse because that's fucking terrible. But like, the scene was about Denise's thing and Erica, like, I mean, just like Erica insinuating that anyone else is selfish is my point, is cray cray.
Yeah, I think, I think first of all, there's like a base level of selfishness amongst all these women.
That's true. It is in the job description. You're right.
I think if Erica 4 years ago had said something similar to Dorit and Dorit got really pissed off and was like, oh, I'm not friends with you because I'm sitting here supporting you during this and you're going to say that to me, I would have been on Dorit's side about that as well. I just think it's like shitty. Like, when people go through these breakups and go through these things, it's like the person on the receiving end who's supporting them has to really just kind of like sit there and hear it and hear it and hear it, and not like the phone rings and you know that the next 45 minutes to an hour and a half of your life is going to be devoted to having to listen to them. And that's what you're there for. You're there and you want to do that because it's your friend, but like, it's a lot. It's a lot. So then for someone, if you've gone through that and then someone says like, you haven't been supportive of me, I don't care if Erica has or hasn't shared about Shrek. And I do agree that the better thing would have been for her to share it. I do think it's like kind of shitty that she didn't share it. But I do also think that two things can be true. Like, Erica could have shared about that. But I think that Dorit just being like, well, they've supported me more than ever. And while you have like these people waiting for Dorit, Erica waiting, you know, I'm just like,
well, the waiting, I'm never going to stand up for the waiting. I'm never going to stand up.
I know you're not going to. I wasn't saying that, but I'm just like that. Like, you add that to it. And actually, on top of that, that's like a multiplier. Like in video games, that's like the 4X point multiplier is the lateness, because that just somehow makes everything so much worse. So, yeah, I kind of get why Erica is so angry.
I don't see how this season, she said this year, Dorit, and we have not seen Kyle or Erica be supportive of Dorit this season. We really haven't. We've seen Erica a little bit, like when it's brought up in scene, she's like, yeah, fuck PK or whatever. But, you know, I can see why Dorit's like, how are you saying you're supportive of me when you're coming at me? Like, you're constantly coming out with me with Kyle. Why are you saying you're supporting me? That's ridiculous. Like, you see that Kyle's trying to call me crazy. She's trying to insinuate that I'm unstable, which could affect my divorce, which, you know, my husband's evil and he's using everything that comes on camera against me in a court of law. And you see Kyle, you see what Kyle's doing, and you're choosing to like team up with Kyle against me. And yet you're trying to call yourself a supportive friend. You haven't been supportive of me this year. Bose has been supportive of me this year. You've been cackling hags. So Yeah. And listen, I feel very uncomfortable being on Dorit's side because it's, I don't think
I'm
it's
on Erica's side. How do you think I feel? Since when have I ever been on Erica's side? I don't like it.
I don't think this is that. So it's an uncomfortable space for me to be in. But I guess
it's more like whether or not Erica should feel this way. I understand why she does feel this way, you know? And however, what I will also say is that later on in the episode, I think it's really shitty. Really shitty when Erica says, oh, now I guess I understand why PK. Now I understand where PK is coming from. That to me is bad. It's one thing to
so
be
like, how could you stick up for someone like that? It's someone who's not supporting you, you know, and like what you're saying about your friends, you know, you go through the divorce and then you have to sit there and listen to it. Yeah, I've done that. I do that multiple times. I've done that with a lot of my girlfriends. You know, that's what you do. That is being a friend. And that's the point. Erica's not that. And she refuses to be that. And the second she's required for any kind of emotional support, she's like, fuck that bitch. And she just doesn't care and has no problem piling on and then saying shit like that. Like maybe her husband was right. I mean, Erica's just a shit person. She's a terrible person. And she admits it, you know, which should help, but it doesn't really.
I think I was really shocked when Erica said that thing about PK because I would like Kyle saying that I would not be surprised because Kyle's not a girl's girl, despite all her proclamations, you know, to the contrary. But Erica, I actually do feel like has been pretty good about certain things about like not saying shit like that. So I was like genuinely shocked when she said that. But I still think that she is like, I don't know. I actually want to go back and look at their whole fight again and see it in the new context of this, of like everything and like see how I feel about it. And as like a relationship ending fight for them. I don't know if they come back from this, quite frankly. I think this is the end. They've had other fights, the three of them, that I felt like were performative to get the audience to shut up because the audience is always accusing them of being a clique. So they have these performative squabbles. So that way we think like, oh no, they're not a clique. They are their own independent people. But this time I think this is it for this trio.
Well, I think casting is going to change up. So I think it just depends on who wins with casting because Kyle and Eric are making a stance. They're making their, you know, and they do it every season to somebody. And this season it turned on Dorit, which again, it's Dorit's fault for being part of this clique in the first place because Dorit's helped do it with multiple people, you know, back to the Vanderpump days. So she's been a part of this getting people off the show and now it's coming to her. And so it's like the gauntlet's been thrown. It's like, who's it going to be? Is Kyle going to retire? Which leaves Erica really nothing to do. And they keep Dorit because Dorit's kind of got this divorce storyline going on and people are kind of behind Dorit right now. Or do they get rid of Dorit and just let Kyle and Erica kind of flounder for another year? You know,
no, they're going to keep Dorit. Dorit is, she's shown like a huge amount of life and spark. So I think they keep Dorit. I think they'll keep all three of them. I think everyone's trying to like drum up this thing. Like Kyle might be retiring. They might be getting rid of Kyle. Kyle is not going anywhere. Kyle, for better or worse, knows where her bread is buttered. She knows where her salmon is burnt. And it's here on Bravo.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said that. Like, Kyle's never going to leave the show. I just don't see her doing it. But, I don't know. It's kind of long in the tooth, you know?
Yeah, but also Bravo's going to want to track this. Because now we actually have, like, a real relationship dynamic that's worth watching. Which is, how do Kyle and Dorit and Erica move forward? Like, that they're kind of all three like built in for the next season. They actually have a storyline to follow.
Yeah, where they have to get back together and all that. And by the way, when I say long in the tooth, I don't mean old. I mean, it's been 15 years on this show. It's like enough Kyle. Like her stories are long in the tooth.
Very long veneers and shaved down.
She's done her teeth so many times that she doesn't have gums left. Okay.
Okay, well, the point is this.
Erica
this was
sucks
a simple thing
agree.
That they
Thank
could have
you.
Gone to
Thank
and they probably should have gone to they probably should have gone to this thing but they haven't and now there's gonna be a shit storm about Dorit's book cover.
And then she says,
yeah, and you know, it wasn't just the calling me a cut fitness. It was leaving Kyle and I in the town.
You were not left in the town. There was another van to take you home. We're not idiots. We saw it on TV.
And then her and I having words at dinner.
Which, who cares?
And then saying Buzz has treated me better. Well, sweetheart, wait a second. Wait a minute. Like, I'm your friend for 8 fucking years. Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's just at their limit. You know, there's only so much that friends can take before they go, you know what? This is not worth this. I don't need to be treated like this. Maybe PK wasn't wrong. I can't believe I just said that.
Yeah, that's shitty. That's bad.
That's so, what you're Erica. So
it just, it feels like something Kyle would say. I feel like it's something Kyle has said.
So it's just so funny to me that Erica is like, looks the way she is in this confessional because she's just like such a robot anyway. And she's done her makeup to look like two little sardine cans being opened and her eyes just kind of poking out of metal, being like, maybe PK was right. You're such a bot. Jesus.
She really is.
She's like the,
it's her best season.
She's like the robot overlords who end up taking over. You know, she pretends to be nice. It's just like you ask her how the weather's doing in the morning, and she's like, the weather is 76 degrees. Have a good day. And then it turns into this, you know, and they just kill everybody around them.
Yeah. That's her best season. Dorit, it really is.
It is one of her best seasons.
It's like legitimately her best season. Yeah. So Dorit is like, Erica, not trying to even have, not even having the fucking decency.
Well, she didn't even write any or say anything.
No.
So then, they're like, wait a second. It's time to have it. It's okay. It's time to have this. Okay. Dorit, it's going to be your moment coming up. She's like, okay. I'm going to do this. She's like, okay, we've got you. We're here. We're the people. We love you. Okay. Think about the people who love you.
Got it. I'm going to do that right now.
And listen, nobody may be taking this party seriously, but at least one person is. And that is Nick, the party planner. Nick's like, oh my God, where's Steve? Stop the music, Steve. Stop it. Okay, Dorit, are you ready? You're ready. And like, Nick, calm down. You're taking the sheet off of a picture. It's going to be fine, Steve, Nick.
But what if it sticks? What if it hangs on the corner and knocks the whole thing off? Come on, these are things you have to think about. Contingency plans.
I'm really worried because I love Dorit, and there's a Dorit right now behind a sheet, and that Dorit can't see anything. And I'm really afraid of the Dorit in shoulder pads. Please help Dorit take the sheet off her face.
I wish they did a callback to Dorit's first season when she and PK had their first party, and they had a secret band behind curtains, but they told everyone that the curtains were up because there was a black mold situation. So everyone was like,
it's like, welcome to our party. Please welcome. Come to our mansion. Unfortunately, we do have some black mold over here, but the cocktails are over here. Would you care for some canapes? Just make sure you don't get any black mold in it.
And now the physical representation of black mold, Boy Jude.
I know. Everyone, please welcome to my book cover party. Come over here. We've got free cocktails. Just stay away. We have one small section of black mold on an easel here. So just stay away from that. Thank you so much.
And now the coming chameleon, Boy Juge.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we see Jennifer selecting charcuterie, which is just very, very entertaining.
A little of this, a little of that.
All I need is Jennifer. Just put Jennifer choosing charcuterie, breaking a purse. She was the best part of the episode. And Dorit's really trying to hammer all this stuff home with Nick. She's like, oh, and these people didn't come and those people didn't come. And let me tell you something, Nick. I'm surrounded by a bunch of court witnesses. Okay, Dorit, like, we get it. Like, no, you say the C word. You're so empowered. Enough. Enough.
Rachel has to confront her living nightmare, which is having a one-on-one conversation with Amanda. She's like, how's it going? She's like, my ethos is women making money and doing their thing. And I love this night. And like, we're standing here at Dorit's book party for a book she's not even writing herself, which is like, just fits into this like overarching story of like, you know, like she needs this right now. Yeah, this is like a stream of revenue for her. A small stream, a trickle. It's like one of those little streams that you see in the back that are like, imagine if this were a flash flood, but it becomes one. One of those dreams, you know? It's like, it's an amazing stream of independence and power and maybe tens of book sales.
The entire premise of everything that I do, is to impact and empower women. That's all I do. And I think I'm the epitome of a girl's girl, because even if Dorit and I aren't friends, even if things never get hashed up between us, I still want this for her, because outsourcing your financial well-being to a man works for some women, not women like me, because I'll never rely on a man. That was never who I was gonna be. I'm me, Amanda, who believes...
It's like, shut the fuck up. What is this, 20 minutes? How is Rachel sitting through this claptrap? Shut her up. She's such a good person. Let her monologue for 30 minutes about what a good fucking person she is. Please go pay $50,000 for her course now. Get out of here, tissue dress. What are you wearing, a bunch of used Kleenex? Get out. Get out of this party. You're not even good enough to be at a picture unveiling. Get out.
All Rachel can say is, fuck no. Fuck no. And when she says it, she like, her whole body rattles. Because like when Rachel says a syllable too aggressively, her body can't handle it. It's like driving a car too fast or something, or carrying like too many things in the car. Just fuck no. Fuck no.
Yeah, this is why I felt like we would find some common ground. Yeah, I prefer... What's the other place in the Hamptons? Well, I really fucked this one up.
Uncommon Grounds?
You know how they go to Common Grounds? But then what's the other place they go to this week when she's like, no, we're not going. Yeah, Surf Lodge. We're going to Surf Lodge. I prefer Surf
Lodge. That's where Xander's playing. Oh, by the way, Xander's singing Happy Birthday in Surf Lodge right now.
Wait, I live here. Hold on.
I live here now.
Hey, something is happening. Something is happening.
We need champagne.
Yes, Dorit. Hip hop hooray.
So Dorit is like, she gets up on stage and she's like, yes, Bosie. Yes. Hello, everyone. Thank you, my darlings. Okay. Here's Jaggy and Phoenix. Okay. Everyone, my babies. Here they come. Phoenix is doing much better ever since she went to her first class. Okay. I love you all so much. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm like, gee, everyone that I love is in this room. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Thank you for being here. This cover, it's the marker of a chapter that I fought very hard to arrive at. There was a wordplay there. See, I'm an author now. Chapter. Are you following? Do you see what I'm saying here?
This is my memoir. This book is about grit, and choosing yourself without apology. So I'm sorry. I'm choosing myself. Now here's to all of us writing our own stories unapologetically. Jeez.
And then at this point, Nick's heart is racing because the kids have to pull the sheath off the picture. He's like, come on, don't snag the corner. And it's revealed and everyone cheers, and it's Dorit in her shoulder pads looking like
the biggest shoulder pads in life. She's wearing like a cream suit with gigantic shoulder pads from like another world. And this week, Erica did an interview on the street somewhere, and she was wearing the same outfit. And I was like, what's that? Why are you coming for Dorit and then wearing her outfit out in public? You weirdo.
The concept of Erica doing a interview on the street is hilarious. I just can't imagine Erica walking down a sidewalk and doing a man on the street interview. So Dorit is...
You go back to your roots.
Yeah, seriously.
This book is just the beginning of what's to come. Me using my voice and reclaiming my independence. Fearless and unburdened. I'm so independent. That's why I need all my friends to be here right now.
So Dorit's hugging her kids. It's a nice moment. And
Rachel's need those kids up there. Did they write something? Listen, if we're gonna congratulate children, I would prefer that they're actually doing labor. Why don't you have some of the kids that make iPhones up there? I'll applaud them. Your kids haven't done shit.
So something then happens that really amused me. Rachel Zoe goes, I'm literally dead. And I laughed because I saw on the, I don't know, like I randomly like was looking around and someone was saying like, gosh, why did Ben and Ronnie always, whenever they do Rachel Zoe, they always have her say, I'm dead. I'm literally dead. I feel like that's like really old. Isn't that from like her first show? I'm like, see?
Really? See? That's funny. Yeah, because she says it all the time. I'm literally dead. It's literally giving dead. Like, I don't give a fuck, but I still look hot. That's the vibe. And she looks like, what is it? Like bothered? Is it, was it burdened? Is it bridled? What is it? I don't know what it is. I'm pretending to be supportive. Just what's the book cover? Shoulder pad and shoulder padded. I don't know. What is it?
No, this is going to be Kathy tells us this. I think this is going to be a good long read. This will be a good summer. This will be a summer read. I'm like, what
is going to be the whole summer?
What has happened in Dorit's life that's going to take the whole summer to read about?
It's like, I worked in fashion and now I'm on The Real Housewives.
Kathy. Like, they finally got Kathy to get a line out. She's like, it's going to be the whole summer.
So the party is going and they're all happy. And Rose is like, oh my God, look at me. I'm like fully dressed like Rachel Zoe. My hair is just like Rachel Zoe. I'm like Rachel Zoe. I'm Rachel Bose. And Rachel's like, ha 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 ha.
So they all sit down together to chat. And Amanda's like, yeah, to me, I think a stream of revenue, like a book deal, it's financial independence. Like, I believe in this for you. And that's why I came, even though we had a bit of a rough go. I made a coffee cup that says, I believe in you. I'm a woman. I believe in ethos.
This is a huge coffee cup. Does it ever shut up?
It matters a lot, you know? It really does. Now, could you sit on the other side of the banquette? Thank you so much.
So, Dorit says, it's wild to me,
Nick,
that Amanda...
Could you throw the sheet over her? Throw the sheet over her.
So this is one of those Dorit confessionals where she's looking at us like a lemur, and she's like,
it's wild to me that Amanda could show up to support me. You two of my closest friends, two of my closest friends in this group, could not be bothered to walk through that door.
I'm like, okay, Dorit, we get it. They're not here.
Am I allowed to toast you, Dorit? Am I allowed to toast you?
I don't eat toast.
Make a toast.
Please don't make toast. Carbs have been disallowed in this party.
Okay, let's toast to Dorit. Okay, here it is. To Dorit.
Wow.
Wow. To Dorit. Also, wait, hold on. I forgot to add something. Dorit's hot as fuck.
Thank you. Seeing all of you guys show up and truly support. Truly, 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 truly.
Dorit, you have to stop.
Truly. Has made my heart very full. And I think Bose has something to say. Bose, as my best friend, most supportive friend, and person I've always confided in the most in this group. Could you have the floor?
I'm marrying an out-of-work actor from San Diego, buying him a house and pretending to have a baby with him, everybody. They're like, oh my God, there's no business like show business.
It's Killy!
So they're all like... And they're all very excited. And Dorit's like,
you know, tonight was a really big night. And the launch of my book, Bose's Engagement... Nick got to take some satin off of a poster. It's a lot to celebrate. And they didn't get to be here for it.
You didn't launch your book. Dorit, trying to be on your side here. You have not written a book, Dorit. Okay.
Guys, we've got a bride amongst us. A bride.
So she says she looks around and she's reminded
of what is important and who shows up when you need them the most. I'm sucking on candy.
I love her sucking on candy look she gives in the confessional now. She's like, oh, yeah. Really? Well, I have a point. And it is this.
I'm going to suck on candies and say each word very slowly and give it a lot of space.
And then look like a little tiny pointed claw machine.
If Carl thinks that she is going to do a confessional without a sucking candy, are we even friends?
So Bose is like, to Dorit, being unburdened by these god-awful shoulder pads and those heavy G's.
So, and now it's time to go to Farrah's house.
Oh,
because
God.
It's time for a Richard's wedding scene, wedding planning scene. So the girls are all like choosing things and like, yeah, ready in this house. What about mom? Where are mom and dad going to stay? What about this? Again, they're doing their whole, we have a dramedy on ABC on Sundays at 9 p.m. And that's like what this whole scene is like. It's just annoying. And
you know what's so weird is I did sit through this scene, but in my mind is fast forwarding. It's like I don't remember any. I just remember them all laying on the couch talking in like vocal fry. And then Kyle crying and being like, oh, my God, we have all these like big life moments happening right now. Like I have daughters, but they're grown up. And then I think about my husband and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, should I remember thinking like, should I pull the plug on this marriage? You know, and you'll know when that time comes. And like, I'm not buying it, Kyle. OK. And Kyle talking about, oh, I'm so lonely. And blah, blah. Kyle, you left your husband for a hottie who's as old as your daughter and bought a house with her in Nashville. Can we stop pretending that you're going through this horrible divorce and you're so lonely in your house with nothing to do? I don't want to hear it. You're banging a hottie country star, okay? You're living the best life ever. You're buying houses all over. I'm not crying for you, Kyle, okay?
I just am wondering how many times in one season Kyle can ask us, how did we even get here? Like, why is it that this was, like, so entertaining when I watch it on Sisters on NBC, but, like, when I watch it in real life, I'm like...
There's not a Sela among these women.
That's the issue.
There's not. Sela has more charisma and one fingernail than any of you.
There's not.
I mean, I think if Kyle wants to ask a question that I can get into, it needs to not be like, "How did we get here?" But why am I still here? Yeah. What are you still doing here? Your ride left 5 seasons ago.
Yeah, but so either way, it's a whole thing. She's just contemplating about this wedding and yada yada yada. So anyway, what's her face is gonna get married, and it's an exciting thing that we'll see later on. Now we go to Rachel's house, and her kitchen island has just like a million flower vases on it for no good reason. And Rachel's like, Dana, these flowers are like insane, like stunning. I can't stop taking pictures. Wait, can you take a picture and send it to Zand and be like, happy birthday, right? He loves that song. It's like our song. I live here now.
So Dorit comes over and it's like, oh my God. I poured you some vodka because you drink. Oh my God. Have you recovered? Did you sleep at all? That book cover was insane. You look so hot. You look so hot. I'm dead. You're hot.
Dead.
I'm dead. Dead. You're hot. You're hot. I'm dead. I'm dead. Surf Lodge. Zand.
I love that at this point, Rachel seems to like refuse to go to anyone else's houses. Like they just always have to go to Rachel's house.
Rachel is just staring into the camera like, this is still going? Like, how long do you guys do this? Like,
and you spoke Hamptons before the season's over. No, not the Beverly Hills season, the Hampton season. Keep up. So
Are they keeping the extensions on their head? They're so long on this show. Everybody has extensions down to like the back of their knees. They're long. Doesn't that cause like hair thinning when you've got extensions that big and heavy all over you? It's a lot.
I know, it's crazy. And like Rachel's hair looks like one of those slides at the carnival. You know, it's like, oh my God. Like you can take like a burlap sack and just go right down the side of it and just have the best time. Those are long extensions.
They're long. Sorry. Zand is trying to climb up my extensions. Sorry.
Yeah, Rapunzel's like very in right now.
Well, she's a hot bitch.
She's like so hot, tangled. Like literally
Rapunzel was like, so hot, they had to lock her in a castle.
She's like dead, literally dead. So Dorit is like, you know, it was such a beautiful moment seeing my face on some foam core. That was just such a beautiful thing for everyone. And it just would have been wonderful to have the whole support of the group to see that too.
To see myself as I've always envisioned myself when I walk into a Kinko's. Banners are next.
Okay, so here's what I'll say. I've been standing up for Dorit. I will say this, though. I would prefer, if I was directing this show, I would say, you know what, Dorit? I think this is where you're the bigger person and you just let it go and don't hammer this for an entire episode and a 3-part reunion and just be like, okay, they were bitches. They're not my friends. I'm a strong woman. I came out with this book. Fuck them. What else you want to do? Instead of being like,
They didn't come. And this hurt me. And that hurt me. How could they? Am I divorced?
And she's going to go down this kind of victim path, which I get. She kind of, I mean, in my opinion, she has the right to argue. And I know it's a show about arguing, but I would rather her be like, look, I'm making this. I'm leaving my loser husband, even though he left her. I'm getting rid of this loser. I'm coming out with a book. I'm going to support my kids. I'm going to be this strong ass woman. And I don't care what those stupid, you know, bees think about me. I don't care.
Yeah. But you know, it's this show, which means that if something happens, it's going to take 8 to 12 yeah. episodes to resolve it.
12 years. It's going to take 12 years.
The whole concept of like, you know what, just move on. That doesn't exist here. So Dorit is like, you know, it's Sutton. Sutton's was under the guise of, oh, I don't want to put a damper on your evening, sweetheart. You shat all over the evening by doing what you did. And Rich goes, now, Kyle, like that makes sense to me. Like only because you guys are like, not in a good place. Like literally you guys live in Encino. It's just like the worst.
Are you sure they're not talking to you? Are you sure that they're not like ignoring you because you moved to Encino? Cause that's like, that's rough.
It's like, all you guys have is basically a Chili's on Ventura. It's like,
absolutely. However, she maintains that I'm somebody that she cares about. So much. But she's been concerned. Okay, the worst that I have done, Rachel, is what? I've been overwhelmed. Right. Not erratic. Overwhelmed. So I don't have it together like I usually do. So I'm not on time. So you've had to wait. So that annoys you. So I'm like, not myself. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you've had to wait for me. I'm like, well, okay, Dorit.
Don't bring up that thing. That's like your most losing argument.
You're
like,
going to fail on that one. The worst you're going to fail on that one, even with me, and I'm going to the mat for you today. But yeah, the late one, no, ma'am. You do that shit to me, I'm out of there. Out.
Yeah.
And just acting like it's no big deal is not cool either. Like, oh, I've had a divorce, so I can be late. You're always late. You've been late for 10 years. You need to cut that shit out. It's rude. It's fucking rude. Mm-hmm. So Rachel's like, have you said this to her verbatim? Have you said it to her? And she's like, oh, honey, so many times. She goes, have you? Was I around? Was I living then? Because I'm dead now.
When I tried to explain, she shoot me down. She shoot me down. She doesn't even allow for a very, how do you say, je ne sais quoi, open dialogue. Yes. Kathy's having a party. And if Kyle is ready to have the conversation, Kyle and I can sit down and we'll have the conversation. That's Kyle. Erica, I really, 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 really have a deep pain in my heart that she could be so flippant about something so important to me. Could you imagine she's just being flippant about things? Well, I mean, literally people will be flipping the pages of your book. That's not the point. Okay. My relationship with Erica is not contentious, nor has it been. There's deep love there, deep support. There's friendship that has been built for a decade.
Oh God. And then we see their friendship built up over a decade. We see all these little phony housewives clips and we all knew this wasn't going to last. The second they went to that chocolate place and they're like, you guys are basically Thelma and Louise. That never works out. Has any Thelma and Louise from these shows stayed together? Oh no, Lucy and Ethel. It's the Lucy and Ethel.
Lucy and Ethel. When people say that's like Thelma and Louise, I'm always like, did you see the movie? I actually have never seen the movie, but even I know how it ends.
And you haven't seen the movie? It's a good movie.
I know. Isn't that shocking? I was
it gonna, is, like, a actually,
Gina Davis
yes.
marathon a few weekends ago. And I was going to watch all the Gina Davis movies that I'd never seen that I felt like I always should have seen, but I didn't do it. Sorry to say.
Wow.
Big update, guys. I still have not done my Gina Davis marathon.
Talk about being unburdened. Yeah, that was a good one. But no, I think they called themselves Thelma and Louise later when they drove the fast car with scarves on their head. But this time it was the Lucy and Ethel. And I don't think Lucy and Ethel stay together on these shows.
I don't know if Lucy and Ethel even stayed together in real life. Yeah. I think they had some acrimony.
Probably.
I think they had some real. Also, like,
how would you feel if you were Ethel? You're stuck with Fred. Okay, Lucy gets the hot husband. You get Fred. Lucy gets all the good lines. You're the one, you know, looking like an idiot everywhere you go. You have to be frumpy wherever you go. You know, Lucy gets everything. Yeah. Fucking Lucy.
Also, like, I don't know if it's good to be Lucy and Ethel. They were totally inept and incapable when they were at the chocolate factory. Like, is that who you want to pair yourself with? Like, you're losing you're going to get fired.
Someone has to know what they're doing.
I want to be... Guys, truly, I want to be part of a high functioning sitcom couple. Okay. Not some two bumbling idiots stuffing chocolate in their mouths because they can't keep up with a very slow conveyor belt. Okay.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is sweet. Well, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Shiraz.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.